Hi everybody and welcome along to episode 5 of Down the Line, the football focused podcast here on the RNIB Connect Radio Network. Delighted to be joined by three guests this week. We have Nick in Nottinghamshire, who is a Leeds fan. We have Macker, who you'll all be familiar with, who is a Hibs and Sunderland fan. And also Billy, who you'll be familiar with, the East Fife Arsenal and Celtic fan. So, yeah, welcome along, guys. We've got a couple of good results to chat about it from a Leeds and Sunderland perspective. So I guess we can start with English football first and then with the Championship. So, Macker, do you want me to come to you first? And Sunderland, a win, would you believe it?
It's fantastic, isn't it? I mean, 3 wins out of 3. 3 clean sheets, top of the league. Oh, it's so good to be alive when you think about Sunderland. After Portsmouth on Saturday, a 700-mile round trip, Portsmouth have drawn all their first 3 games in the league. So you never know. It might be another win for Sunderland. I'm hoping so, but I'm not getting too carried away.
What's clicking this season for Sunderland, do you think? What's the kind of play style like?
The new manager's come in and he's sort of stamping his authority on the team. And I just think there's a bit more belief, a bit more, the lads have got a bit more confidence in themselves. Obviously, there was a big question mark when we lost Jack Clark to Ipswich. We wondered how we'd cope. But up stepped Romain Mundell and he played in, obviously, Jack Clark's position and got the goal, which gave us all 3 points against a really surprising Burnley team. Because I thought it was going to be harder and tougher than it was. But with Burnley just coming down from the Premier League recently. But no, you know, we've played Cardiff away and then had followed by 2 home games with Sheffield Wednesday and Burnley. And yeah, we've done really well. I mean, 7 goals, you know, you can't ask for much more than that, really. And I think it's the first time in a long time that Sunderland have started a season with 3 clean sheets. So, and at last, you know, the transfer window's hopefully going to turn out positive. Bring in a few players before it ends at 11 p.m. on Friday evening. So, I'm happy at the moment with regards to Sunderland.
I know you, Mac, in terms of, you know, if when it comes to Hibs and Sunderland, you would back them to win every trophy. If Hibs were in the Champions League, you'd back them to win that, as with Sunderland. But did you ever, you know, did you see Sunderland having a successful season, you know, as it stands, obviously just a couple of games in, but did you see this start coming?
No, I didn't see it coming at all. I'm really surprised and sort of feel so happy with what the new manager's done. And it's worth pointing out that Sunderland's first 2 home games, they've had the highest attendance in the Championship for both matches as well. And it shows you that the fans, you know, they buy into it and they've bought into the belief and the positivity. And yeah, keep it going, Reggie, keep it going.
Now over to Nick with a good Leeds result away to Sheffield Wednesday. Not an easy place to go by normal standards. So, yeah, how did you find that and Leeds start the season in general?
Well, I think it was much as I thought. I didn't buy into this idea that they were going to automatically get promoted. The team has been virtually destroyed from what it was last year and they didn't succeed last year. So, in a way, I was kind of delighted to see a 2-0 win against Sheffield Wednesday because I was starting to think that it was worse than that going to be.
Yeah. Are you just hopeful to maybe push for a playoff place by the end of the season? Would that be a realistic ambition, surely, for a club like Leeds?
You think it should be, but then again, if they do get up there, I mean, I prefer them to stay where they are at the moment and because if they get promoted, then they get hammered again and they come back down. I'm quite happy for them to have a period of a few years in that division, the Championship, and consolidate.
Yeah. No, yeah, fair enough. And how is it, if you don't mind me asking, how is it you watch the games? Do you listen to them on a kind of local radio station or do you just kind of follow it via the Sky Sports or the BBC stuff?
I follow it through a Mr. Beer on a Saturday afternoon as the results come in. And if it's a good one for us, I kind of smile to myself and think that's good.
Perfect.
But I've never been to a match for a long, long time. You're talking 30 or 40 years ago.
Oh, I only get along with the audio description and stuff nowadays. It's, it can be cracking. And Mac, have you been to Leeds away in terms of their access and anything you can report about Leeds?
Yeah, I've been to Leeds a few times with Sunderland and they're generally normally very helpful and obviously Radio Leeds does full commentary on the game as well. And obviously, I guess Leeds fans that can't make the games are kind of lucky because the games, a lot of the games are on Sky now. Especially this season, there's a lot more Championship football coverage, and obviously Leeds, you know, provincial club and stuff like that. So people want to watch Leeds, and so no, it's good. It's always a good atmosphere at Leeds, and I like it because as an away supporter, you can make a lot of noise and sing and stuff, and they'll sing back at you. Whereas you can some away grounds, and it's really, really quiet. You know, that's something I'm looking forward to on Saturday. The 700-mile round trip to Portsmouth is that Portsmouth fans are really, like, they're always really up for it, and they always make a lot of noise. So, yeah, Sunderland sold out away end should be loud and proud as usual, as it normally is, and then hopefully Portsmouth will make a lot of noise back and we can, you know, get good atmosphere going.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to come back to that round trip that you've got this weekend, Marker, because I want to hear how you're planning for that. But we'll come to Billy just now. Billy, how you doing? Got three good results for you this weekend. So where do you start? Arsenal, Celtic, or East Fife?
Yeah, it was a 9-0 victory for me this weekend. well, we'll start with East Fife because they were the first match on Saturday. Yeah, that was unexpected, really, because Stirling Albion's always been a tough side for East Fife to face. And Stirling Albion have a player called Dale Carrick. And when he is in the team lineup, we always fear for him because he always gets goals against East Fife. But we kept him quiet, I think. And it was a 4-0 victory away from home. Which was surprising. Thought it'd be a bit closer than that, but no. The Arsenal one, that was next. So, Arsenal seem to be finding a way to win now against the likes of Aston Villa, who beat Arsenal twice last season. But David Raya had a really impressive save again to keep them out. And so that's two clean sheets in a row, which is good. Celtic as well, there was another impressive 3-0 win away to St Mirren, so I'm a happy chappy after the weekend's results.
Yeah, and the best part of 30 million in the bank as well for Celtic to add to your success this weekend, so yeah, you're happy with that business with Matt O'Reilly going to Brighton?
Yeah, that's really good business. We don't like to lose good players like Matt O'Reilly, but it's happened before with Celtic. If they come in for a good player, we can't really keep them, and it's best to let them go. And we're getting 30 million in for that type of player. It gives us an opportunity to go in before the transfer window closes and try and get another couple of players for that money and strengthen the squad that way. So, it's really good. We'll miss them, but just one of these things that happen.
Yeah, Celtic seem pretty good in the last 10 years or so of getting in players at a good value and then turning them for tenfold profits sometimes, you know. So, yeah, pretty good business all in all. And I think he'd be a cracking player for Brighton in a good system. So, yeah, which pains me to say as a Rangers fan, but cracking business from Celtic. I wish we could do a bit more of that. Yeah, I'll come back to yourself, Maka, with your round trip this weekend. I think it's interesting. We don't often talk a whole lot about the fact that we're all visually impaired football fans. We tend to focus on the football and the content that way. But when you've got such a round trip that you're doing to watch a couple of football matches this weekend as a blind football fan, I'd just love to know what planning goes into that. What does your journey look like? And how much kind of nerves and fear come with it? I know you've done it for a long time and been to hundreds of matches, but does it still, you know, have some anxiety that comes along with these big journeys?
Oh, I think rightly so that we're focused on the football on the podcast because, you know, it's not about the disability and that should never defy a person, you know, and it should never defy a person, like define a person going to the football, you know, being blind. I mean, but yeah, there is planning, you know. I mean, this weekend there'll be games 14 and 15 of my season so far. And I know that all the listeners and yourselves are saying, well, hang on, this is only, you know, the second or third game in the championship, fourth game in the championship. How is that working? Well, obviously, I've had all of the pre-season games as well, which I actually said at the start of pre-season I wasn't going to any, but I ended up going to the majority. And obviously, Hibs have had a League Cup campaign as well. And then obviously their season started earlier than the championship, so yeah, it's a 700-mile round trip to Portsmouth on Saturday. I'm leaving at 4 in the morning in a van with a few other lads. going down from the northeast and hopefully should arrive into Portsmouth at about maybe about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, ready for a 3 o'clock kickoff, and then straight back on the road afterwards. Hopefully you'll get home at maybe 11:30 in the evening, and then I can chill out before getting on the train at 8:20 to go up to Kilmarnock on Sunday with Hibs for a 3 o'clock kickoff. But luckily I'm staying in Kilmarnock afterwards at my girlfriend, so I don't need to worry about getting back home. So it's a tiring weekend this weekend, and then obviously the international break kicks in after that. So, and then I have a small matter of a journey to Plymouth when it resumes. So that's another 405 trip. So it's tough when you're on the road from the northeast, obviously going down south all the time, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I love supporting the Sunderland and Hibs, whether it be home or away. There's nothing more I like more, and I just love meeting new people, and football gives you the opportunity to do that. And a lot of my networks built up over the years, meeting people around the country for football, and I love it.
Give us a flavour for what kind of planning goes into, obviously, do you liaise with the kind of supporters liaison officers of the various clubs and stadiums that you go to, or does it go through your kind of supporting clubs of Hibs and Sunderland, or is it a bit of a mix of both?
Bit of both, depends on who we're playing. Obviously, I'm like you say, I've built a network of people that know me, so like I know that I can, like, if I need to attend a game on my own and know that there'll be someone that knows me. And I just contact like the club that we're playing and just explain what support I would need. If I get someone to go to the matches with me, then that helps as well, you know. Obviously, a regular on the podcast, Jan, who we have on, been God knows how many games with her. I've lost count that many. So, you know, everyone just helps everyone, and it's just amazing. Like, the amount of people I've met, the amount of new people I keep on meeting every week, and people will come up to me and say, oh, are you that Macker? I'm like, well, I'm thinking to myself, well, if I owe you any money, no, I'm not. But if not, then yeah, I am. And they're like, well, you go everywhere with Sunderland and Hibs, don't you? And I'm like, yeah. And I just, I don't think twice about it. You know, I just, like, if there's a game and I want to go, I go. And like, if they don't clash, they play different days, I don't think twice. Like you say, I'm in Portsmouth Saturday, and like, I'm guessing people would probably think, well, okay, I'll just go home and chill out the next day. But I can't, because I just can't. I wouldn't feel comfortable sitting in the house if Hibs or Sunderland were playing the following day and I wasn't there. So yeah. I just have to go. Yeah. Then I've got home and away season ticket at Hibs, then I've got a home season ticket at Sunderland, and obviously I just attend all the away games because you get like points for attending the matches, you know. So
it's an amazing commitment that you do, and a lot of challenges that you face. It's really it's remarkable that you managed to do it, and it's remarkable that you have to put yourself through it twice a week watching Hibs and Sunderland, which I think is the biggest challenge.
I think it is, so. Yeah. I mean, I got the 77 matches last season, and I'm hoping to beat that record this season. And like you say, we're up to 15 by the end of Sunday, and then another 8 when the international break ends. So I'm really, really hoping that I can beat it, because I like to push myself, you know. And obviously, especially really with Christmas and that, when a lot of games have come thick and fast, it's great. I love travelling on the trains and in cars, vans and buses and anyway to win.
Oh, good for you, mate. Brilliant. And so best of luck with the journey on Saturday and Sunday, and best of luck to Sunderland and Hibs, of course. So yeah, I just thought we'll turn our attention just briefly to the Premier League results from the weekend. So I'll just read them out quickly. So we had Brighton 2, Man United 1, Crystal Palace 0, West Ham 2, Fulham 2, Leicester 1, Man City 4, Ipswich 1, Southampton 0, Notts Forest 1, Tottenham 4, Everton 0, Aston Villa 0, Arsenal 2. And then on Sunday we had Bournemouth 1, Newcastle 1, Wolves 2, Chelsea 6, and Liverpool 2, Brentford 0. So not a whole lot of upsets there. I'll turn just to Nick as a Leeds fan. I'd imagine watching Man United getting beat on Saturday morning was a little bit of a pleasure for yourself.
Yeah, surprisingly enough, it was a bit of a pleasure. I used to think the same about Liverpool, but now I've kind of warmed to Liverpool.
Ironically, it was Danny Welbeck, ex-Man United player, who scored for Brighton. So one of the goals. So I think, I think that's a big shock. I think, obviously, Man City winning isn't a shock, but they actually went 1-0 down against Ipswich. Sammy Smodic, who Ipswich signed from Blackburn, scored. So he obviously he's sort of trying to prove himself that he can play in the Premier League. And yeah, I think that was I think probably the result of the weekend was maybe Chelsea winning. You know, they've got a lot of good players, Chelsea, and I think they're going to be there and thereabouts this year.
Yeah,
winning 6-2. I mean, and I you know, we'll gloss over the controversial goal for Bournemouth that should have stood against Newcastle, but yeah, Chelsea definitely the result of the weekend, I think.
Who would you like to see win the Premier League, Nick? Would you happy with Man City, or would you fancy another team, or is it just not Bournemouth?
I'd like to see Liverpool or Arsenal for once. Gets a bit boring if the same team does it all the time, doesn't it? It just, you know, they're in danger of going into like Manchester United.
So I'm
quite happy with Liverpool, but. Arsenal.
Billy will be happy if Arsenal win, that's for sure.
So,
we'll just quickly run over the results in the Scottish Premier League from the weekend there. So, from Saturday, Rangers with a 6-0 victory over Ross County at Hampden. We had Hibs drawn 2-2 with a last gasp equaliser against Dundee, so well conceded against Dundee. We had Dundee United 2, St Johnstone 0, St Johnstone going down to 10 men in that game. St Mirren 0, Celtic 3, reasonably comfortably. Aberdeen 2, Kilmarnock 0, again a red card there for Kilmarnock. And then Motherwell 3, Hearts 1, maybe the kind of shock of the weekend, I guess. But a decent Motherwell team against a slightly struggling Hearts team. But on that, I guess, with European football, maybe something to mention. So, we've also got Hearts and Kilmarnock in European action this Thursday, so Hearts looking to qualify for the Europa League if they can turn around a 1-0 defeat to Pilsen on Thursday night, and also Kilmarnock, a long shot, but if they can turn around a 2-0 defeat to Copenhagen as they bring them back to Rugby Park on Thursday night, I'm sure there'll be a couple of good atmospheres at Tynecastle and Rugby Park respectively.
Chelsea are in Europe against Servette in the Conference League, trying to qualify for the Conference.
And what was the result in that in the first leg there?
I think they won 1-0, but I wouldn't like to be sure. So better than that now. And I'll say it's worth mentioning as well on Sunday that obviously it's a big game in Scotland, you would say. Celtic Rangers, isn't it?
Looking ahead at the fixtures this weekend, so obviously you've got a card of all the English leagues and Scottish leagues, but the big one maybe to touch on, and we'll certainly be talking about next week, is the Old Firm on Sunday. So, Billy, the resident Celtic fan, please don't make it too hard for us on Sunday.
Well, definitely will be. I don't think you have much of a chance, and I think it will be a comfortable result for Celtic, especially we having no away fans.
There's only one big game on Sunday, lads, and that's Kilmarnock against Hibs, obviously.
I knew you were going to say that. I was waiting for it.
The Old Firm on Sunday, the big one, Celtic at home to Rangers. 12:30 kickoff on Sky on Sunday afternoon. So, yeah, we'll see who's got the smile on their face come next week's podcast. I guess the odds, the bookies would have that in Billy's favour for sure.